This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
The term restorative justice may be familiar to people as a process associated with the courts or the criminal justice system. A group in East Vancouver is interested in developing a very local form of restorative justice, one that might respond to certain kinds of crimes, but also be used in a broader attempt to resolve family or neighborhood conflicts. Some key principles are the involvement of all stakeholders, direct accountability for harmful actions, the healing of both victims and community, and the reintegration of the offender. Vancouver East Restorative Justice is working toward developing a vision and wants to involve a wide range of community members in the process. I'm joined in the studio by Camia Weaver of Vancouver East Restorative Justice. Good morning, Camia.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So the project that you're involved in is in its formative stages. How is this community-based approach different than the program that exists now as part of the criminal justice system in BC?
Well, there is some form of restorative justice, it's called restorative justice, available through the court system. It's a post-court process where probation officers act as restorative facilitators either before sentencing or as part of sentencing, as required as part of sentencing. This is a very different animal that we're talking about. This is not built by the government, it's built by the community. And so the form it takes is by the community, for the community, and it's all conducted by members of the community. So it's community-based, community-involved, and does not deal with the court process at all, unless at some point maybe we'll get some referrals there.
So you were involved in an incident in which you were assaulted on Commercial Drive. What happened to you?
Well, one evening a friend and I were out on the street, and there was a group of youth blocking the sidewalk, and they had been around a lot lately, causing some difficulties, and I sort of decided that I didn't want to walk in the street, so I started to make my way through them, when one of them, a female, pushed me and swore at me and was being aggressive, and my friend pushed her back, and at that point some of the youth pushed him down and started basically stomping on his head and kicking him, and I tried to stop that from happening and was thrown down and smashed my wrist. So it was an unpleasant experience.
So then, as a victim of criminal wrongdoing, what was your experience in the legal process that ensued from there?
Well, it's a very frustrating process. I have been a criminal lawyer, and I understand the process. I know the people involved, and even for me, it was incredibly difficult. I mean, I thought that I may have had a better way through the system, but even with my connections, it wasn't any better. It was a very long, drawn-out process, and I wrote victim impact statements that specifically requested restorative justice, and I told Crown Counsel I wanted restorative justice because it makes more sense to me, and it has not happened. It was like 14 months from beginning to end, and nothing restorative happened at all.
And has there been any follow-up since then from the court to
no.
you?
No, in one of the cases with the youth, the judge would not let me read my victim impact statement, had no interest in pursuing any of that at all. There was one recommendation from one judge in adult court that a restorative process happen as part of sentencing, but it has not been pursued by the courts or probation.
It seems to me that your experience probably is not atypical of what many victims experience when they get involved in criminal court cases. Why do you think the system of legal response fails to really provide solutions for conflict in a community?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons. One is that basically in criminal law, the state takes over the victim's position, really. The victim is really only a witness. It's the state who in our legal system has been offended or harmed, and so the state takes over. The prosecutors become the person pursuing it against the person who did harm, and the victim is nowhere in sight, really, unless they happen to be a witness. It's a very alienating process. There's never any direct contact between someone who has harmed and the person that they've harmed, unless, you know, there is no direct contact, no healing. There's just a process where there are all sorts of, the legal system stands in between the two, and in the end, it's punishment.
Restorative justice provides an alternative approach that involves all of the stakeholders in a process of healing. How would that sort of process look in practice?
Well, it comes in many forms. There's a victim offender mediation, which is a post-sentencing process. The ones that we are more interested in are at the front end, and one of the most common is to have a facilitated conference where the person who was harmed, known as the victim usually, and the person who did the harm come together, with each of them having supporters and potentially community members, to discuss what happened and to talk about what the impact was or what the effect on people was, so that the person who harmed gets to hear what actually happened to people as a result of what they did, and that the person who harmed also can talk about why it happened, what they were thinking, what they were doing, why it happened, and then there's a resolution where everybody involved in that conference comes to an agreement about what needs to be done to heal the harm that happened.
So what are the benefits of a restorative approach for all of the people involved?
Well, you know, the alienating process of legal, the legal system, keeps people apart. And in this process, actually for an offender, it's a chance to say, yes, I did something wrong, and actually to get forgiveness for it, which is something that doesn't happen in the criminal justice system. And so you don't, I think for offenders or persons who harm, it's a way for them to get past that event and move on in a healthier way. For a victim, it's a chance to actually get closure, because they have a chance to say, this is what you did to me, and this is the effect it had on my life. And that's something that victims very rarely get a chance to do in any kind of direct way. And so it builds relationships between those parties and the other parties involved in the conference, but it also extends beyond that, because it really is a community building thing as well. Because the more you have good relationships, then the stronger your community is.
And what are the differences also in terms of how offenders are reintegrated into the community?
Well, in restorative justice, they're never out of the community. They're never taken away from the community, which is what they often do in the legal system. So they, in terms of repairing the relationship in the community, that can happen in a number of ways. One is just by that conference and rebuilding that relationship, and also in terms of some of the agreements involve doing community work or becoming more involved in the community, so that the person who's harmed has more connections in the community and doesn't start down that road of alienation from the community. So we bring that person in and build their relationships in the community.
So when a crime takes place in the community, how could a community restorative justice process get initiated instead of a typical legal process?
Well, there's a number of ways. For example, if there was a shoplifting, a theft of some kind, it could actually even be brought by the person, the victim, to say, I want to deal with this way. we won't go to the police, we won't go to court. And that's true in conflicts, too, that you can come directly. We also hope to reach the point where we will get referrals from police in our community, particularly the community policing center, that is before people are charged, to say, I think this would be a case where it'd be better to deal with it in a restorative way in the community than to go to court, because it works better.
This system obviously wouldn't be appropriate in all criminal cases. What do you think what conditions would be necessary for it to work?
Well, restorative justice, I just want to say as an aside, restorative justice can be effective in every single type of case, including murder cases, as part of sentencing or post-sentencing. For example, that's happened in Australia, New Zealand. It's also happened here. The murder that happened up in Squamish, and I have a terrible memory for names, but the man who was killed when he went to the New Year's party, he was killed by youth. That youth and the wife of the man who was murdered have had restorative process and actually have quite a relationship now. So it is possible at all stages. And now I've forgotten the question.
I was asking what the conditions would be that would allow this kind of system to work.
What really is absolutely necessary, first of all, is that the person who's done harm takes responsibility for it. Also, all parties have to be agreeable to it. And basically, those are the main requirements, is that the person takes responsibility and everyone is willing to participate.
So you've talked a little bit about how this concept could be extended and used in different situations. How could it be extended to other forms of conflict in the community, like, for example, family conflicts or neighborhood conflicts? Can you give us an example of from the East Vancouver neighborhood where this approach could be effective?
Family conflicts, I may be a little more hesitant about, although there are parent-teen programs that are facilitated programs where parents and teens can do the same sort of process to resolve some issues. Some of the things that I see in our community that would be really effective are, for example, we have issues in parks with people drinking and doing drugs, which causes a number of problems for families using the park. I could see the potential for a group of people from the neighborhood, a small group of people, having a process with the people who are drinking in the park, probably in the park itself, to just talk about what impact it has on them and their neighborhood and their families, to come to some sort of agreement about what will work for everybody. We have a very diverse community. We also have some issues between police and people more on the anarchistic side. They don't get along. And I, frankly, would be really interested in, hopefully at some point, having a meeting between those two parties to sort of at least come to understand each other's perspective in a respectful way and maybe resolve some of the issues that are there. I think there are some primary issues that start those problems, but I think in terms of managing to accept each other, I think it could be an effective thing.
How can people get involved or find out more about what you're doing?
Well, there's a couple of ways. I have an email address you can write to, which is Camia Weaver, CamiaWeaver, shaw.ca, or you can call Libby Davies' office. Libby has been very involved in this from the beginning. It's been wonderful. Her office number is 604-775-5800, and on Monday, September 19th at 6:30 on the floor above Eastside Family Place, we're having another community forum to talk about restorative justice.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Camia, for coming in and sharing this information with us.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Camia Weaver of Vancouver East Restorative Justice. The meeting that she mentioned on September 19th will take place on the second floor of the Eastside Family Place at 1655 William Street next to Grandview Park. It will be at 6:30 p.m. And again, to get more information about Vancouver East Restorative Justice, you can also call Libby Davies' office at 604-775-5800.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.